Yes, Lord. There's one beautiful name, Lord, in this place, Lord God. The name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you came from heaven, Lord, to become man, fully man, Lord, to dwell amongst us, to live a life, Lord, where you were tempted in every way, Lord, yet you never sinned. And you gave an example of how we can live if we followed the Father, Lord. And you were just saying, I do as the Father is telling me. And you had people following you and you discipled them. But it was for one purpose, that you could go to the cross, Lord Jesus. And on that cross, you took pain, you took punishment, you took beatings, you took verbal abuse. For one thing, for our sin. And you paid that price, Lord, that was impossible for us to pay, Lord, so that we can have life. But, Lord God, thank you that we can know this morning the good news that you're not dead, but you are risen. And you are sitting at the right hand of the Father, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you in this place, Lord. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, Lord God. We worship you in this place, Lord. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. Thank you for the price, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you were a friend of sinners, Lord. That you first loved us, Lord. And that this morning I just believe you are saying to us, come as you are. You cannot fix yourself. Come to me because I love you. I will change you. You are no longer slaves. You are sons. You are children. You are my daughters. You are mine. You belong to me in Jesus' name. God, I thank you. I love you, Lord Jesus. We love you in this place, God. We exalt your name, Lord. The name above every name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Is there anyone with a word or a picture they believe is from the Lord that you just feel God has laid on your heart that you want to share? Before I put pressure on anyone, you may be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for singing my sermon this morning, guys. I really appreciate it. It gives me a lot of confidence to start preaching for the prophets in the house here. Thank you. Can we just give him a hand? Hallelujah. Thank you. Baie dankie julle. It was one of those mornings that I just, everything was going wrong at our house, and Christian was not feeling well, so he's at home, and now Lynette can't come, and I asked Daniel if he wants to come, and he's like very diplomatic, he feels he needs to stay with his mom tonight, and then Christian is saying to me, but he thinks he will feel better if he can watch Thomas the Train, so I'm like, okay, I probably just have to go now, because it's going to get quite tough at home, I can't force. But he was not feeling well, so that was just apologies from the Van Houten household this morning. I just want to pray. Now, Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, your love. God, I thank you, Lord, that you first loved us, God. And I thank you that this word that I have this morning, just that we are no longer slaves, Lord, but we are your children, God, and we are set free, Lord. And I just pray, God, for impartation this morning, for faith, to accept who we are in Christ, Lord, that we can walk in victory, Lord God, that we will no longer be slaves to this world, Lord, but we can walk in the fullness of what you have called us to be, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, and I just pray for my own words, Lord, and Father, I just pray for my mind, God, that the thoughts that I receive will only be from you, and that the words that I will speak will bring glory to your name, Lord, and Father, I just pray that you will help me now. I surrender to your purposes, God, to you, Holy Spirit. And I just pray for understanding as well, Lord God, that the words that as you want it will be received in the name of Jesus. God, this is not about us, Lord Jesus, but it's all about you, Lord. And this morning, we are here to bring glory to your name. And Father, we pray that all of us will grow closer to you, Lord. That we all have a desire to be more with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to show you that I also have a jacket. My sermon I'm dedicating this morning to the Golds, the Gold family this morning. So thank you very much. This is for you. So I'm just going to preach like this. When it was their wedding, I also had to do it. And Brad was very full of himself. And I said to him afterwards, you were nervous, hey? He said, that's my defensive mechanism. He becomes windgat, as the Afrikaans people would say. So I'm going to do it again. Maybe you must come and stand here in front. But he sent me this song that I actually want to play afterwards. And then I never did. Sorry, just so busy. And you forget to do things. And then afterwards I got Lisa sent me the same song. So I actually listened to it, and when I listened to it, I just thought, this is what God is really speaking to us about slavery. And this week, you know, just why did Jesus come and to the earth? And when we look at Passover or Easter, that we understand that Jesus came to set us free from sin. But everything that he did was according to how Moses came, and they did the Passover to release the people out of Egypt to go to the promised land. And even when Jesus was dying on the cross, he fulfilled the Passover festival to the hour. When the priest comes out and he said, it is finished, Jesus was hanging on the cross saying, it is finished. When the lamb was inspected, that Jesus was being inspected and he was being beaten to see if there was he was being put under pressure to see what was coming out of him. And there was coming out silence because he was completely surrendered to the will of God. And he knew he didn't have to defend himself. He could just stand and say, Lord, you are in control of my life. So all the things that has happened, even with Barabbas, where he was let go, that the other lamb was letting go. There was two lambs. The one was being had to be slaughtered for the forgiveness of sins. The blood had to flow, and the other one was being set free. So I looked at this. Moses, in the time of God, they were slaves. So Heinrich and I were speaking about slavery this week, and he used to work for the Heritage Organization or Fund, Foundation, the Heritage Foundation. So they would go to all old buildings to go and see what the history was behind it. And I asked him, how many of those buildings had that slave bell, by Slava Klok, in front of it? And he's like, yo, almost all of them. So we were talking about slavery and the impact of slavery in South Africa. And I went to go and research a little bit about it. And 1653, I'm a bit of I like my history. There was the first slave that came to South Africa. His name was Abram, of all names. And he was a stowaway on a ship from Batavia. They forced him to work here for 3 years before they returned him to his owner. And by the time of 1708, there were 1,140 adult slaves and 450 children, slave children, in the Western Cape. By 1795... the slaves were 17,000. Now they were outnumbering the people of the free people that lived in the Western Cape. There was a man, his name was Sheikh Yusuf. He came from Indonesia. He was born on an island called Madagascar. He was royalty. He was a cousin of the king of Indonesia. He caused the Dutch people so much trouble because he was a warrior. He was fighting for his nation, that they exiled him to the Cape here. When he came here, I read in a different article, I told Heinrich that he apparently put his foot into the sea water. And then he said, okay, guys, you cannot take water. And they took water and they could drink the water. This is according to a book that I found in the library. I don't know how true it is. I didn't live at that time, so I can't verify it. But that's what I read. So this man came. And he lived on a farm, what was called Zandvliet, and it was owned by a Dutch Reformed dominee, Reverend Petrus Kelden. And that farm later on became Madagascar, that is right over here. He drew a lot of people and he taught them in the ways of Islam. And many slaves and stowaways and runaways would come there and they would be taught all about Islam. And what Heinrich told me that it's quite sad because the slaves, when they were baptized as Christians, we could not have them as slaves anymore. So they had to be freed. So they were encouraged to learn the Islam faith so that they could still have people to work for them, which I really believe it's a sad thing in our history. There was this man, Rahia of Tambora. They moved him to Vergelegen and to live in isolation, and he rewrote the Quran from memory. And I've also read, but the dates doesn't correlate, that he translated it into Dutch as well for Willem Adrian van der Stel. Now, Willem Adrian van der Stel was the first governor that owned property here, Vergelegen. The farm belonged to him. His father was Simon van der Stel. This Prince Joseph or Sheikh Yusuf was a gift given to him. But his father, his name was Adrian van der Stel, and he was the governor of Mauritius. He married a slave woman. But his grandson, Willem Adrian van der Stel, brought in more slaves into this country to the farm of Vergelegen than any other person that we have. So now we had all these people coming or being brought in from exile, from where they live, to work on farms in this country, in this town, being instructed in the ways of Islam, and we not had an opportunity to lead them to the Lord. And you know, when you look at the slave bell of the slave clock, because my grandfather had a farm in Namibia, and he had a sort of a bell, like a piece of iron, and then with another piece of iron that you would beat on it, and then it's time to work. It's time to come to work, and there was or it's time to go home, or it's time to take a break. So the bell was used to give instruction to the slaves, and they had to be obedient, otherwise they would get a beating. Now, for me, that slavery is where Moses was born into. He was born into slavery, and his family came from Abram, and like Abram, the first slave here, his father was Abram. And God gave him these amazing promises saying, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to prosper you and your children will be more than the stars and I will do amazing things through your life. And then he had a son from a slave woman and her name was Ishmael. His name was Ishmael. And we understand that his descendants is where the Islam faith are coming from today. Then, because he couldn't wait on God in faith, so he had a child with a slave woman. And and that caused slavery on the one side. And then he had a child from promise of trusting in God. When he was 99 years old, his wife became pregnant, and his child, the son of promise, Isaac, was born when he was 100 years. But he was waiting on God for this person. Then Isaac had two sons again, and the one son was Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the second youngest one was Joseph, and his own brothers sold him into slavery. And they had to go, he was sold into slavery into Egypt, and then afterwards his brothers followed him because there was a drought, and they survived. And then 400 years later, Moses is born in slavery. All these people became slaves to the Egyptians. Now they are born in slavery, and in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 5, I just want to put up that scripture, but maybe you will not be able to read it from where you are. I don't want to focus too much on this, but it's just that we should not be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, they all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. So, Moses was a foreshadow, or he was a type of Christ, of a Redeemer. So, the story of Moses gives us a beautiful example of how our lives should be to come to Christ, that we can understand the Passover, where the Passover came from, what it means for us to go through the Red Sea, what it means to be led by day, the cloud and the fire by night, where they ate the same spiritual food, that drank the same spiritual drink, just the rock that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many correlations between Moses and Jesus. In the time of Moses, all the babies were being killed. The same with Jesus. In this time when Jesus was born, all the babies were being killed. Jesus had to flee to Egypt to escape being destroyed. Moses was put in the little monkey basket on the water, and that's how he escaped. So Jesus had 12 disciples, where the Israelites had 12 tribes. There are many correlations that points back to what Moses has done, to what Jesus came to do. So he's that picture that is given, being given to us. So the whole story where Moses gets raised up and he says to Pharaoh that he must let his people go because they must worship, God wants them to worship him. That it's talking about he wants to take them out of Egypt to a promised land. And the Egypt for us is the sinful world of this place. He wants to take us out of that to take us to the promised land. And the whole story that goes around with that. So I just built my sermon around Hebrews 11. Also, just the cloud and the fire is the Holy Spirit. The promised land for us is the kingdom of God, where God wants to take us to. That we understand that there was a desert period for Moses. He was in the desert for 40 years. It's believed that it should have taken him 3 weeks, maybe 40 days. But because of the moaning and complaining, most of them did not inherit the promised land. The same with Jesus. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted by Satan. So there was something about the old life that God wants to remove from us when he takes us into a desert experience. So many times we're going through tough times and we're like, why is this happening to me? But if we understand that God is doing this because he wants to take Egypt out of us, he can take us out of Egypt, but he must come and wash Egypt away from us. And the only way to wash it away is by suffering. Because otherwise we will always want to say, but it was better for us in Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. And we will never be able to reach and achieve the promises and face those giants in the promised land so that we can have the promised land if we will come with a slave mentality into the promised land. So Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So the babies was killed, as I said earlier, the same time with Moses and Jesus. I believe today we have many abortions where babies are being killed. And I believe there's a correlation between the times where we now, where Jesus was and where Moses was. We are being born in sin. We are born as slaves to sin. We live in a fallen world where things go really bad for most people. And many people will ask, why does bad things happen to good people? Why is it that people get sick? Why is it that people die at a young age? Why am I in such a terrible place? I'm a good person. My heart is pure. I really want to do and have good things. I don't understand why these things are happening to us. Many people are born in families where there's things happening that is hard. It's tough. Why do children get born into families where parents maybe are drunk, or they're not absent, or they get born in a family and the parents get killed. Why is things like that happening to all of us? There are bad things that are really happening to a lot of people around us. Many people are born into bondage like alcoholism. The mother maybe was drinking, and then this child gets born into that, and they are seeking alcohol even from birth. And that's the way they grow up. They're being abused. So many people get bounded by games that we play. We get ruled by these things, and we don't understand where it's coming from. Alcohol, drugs, sin, fear. There's so many things that we are bound to this world when we get born into this world. Then on the one side we have slaves, and on the other side we have masters. And what I'm seeing is that masters is wanting to control. And some slaves grow up and they want to be masters because they want to control people around them. And I listened to your sermon last night, Heinrich, and it's really amazing. Just the whole thing about Jezebel at wanting to control. And people will want to control us. And I've heard recently, I read in a book, an amazing book that I read recently. You'll probably will be able to buy it very soon. But someone that I know just wrote a book, and I had the privilege to read the draft, so it was very good. But that Satan controls us by fear. So what happens is that we are afraid, so now we act as according to how he wants us to act, because we can't walk by faith. We can't walk in that place where God is wanting to us, because we're saying, what if this is going to happen to me? So masters will want to control their slaves by intimidating them or manipulating them, because he wants to control. So whenever we are trying to manipulate anyone to do what we want, we are masters. We are taking part in slavery. It's just on the other side of slavery. So on the one side, we're trying to break free from slavery, and on the other side, we are the masters that are controlling the slaves, or we want to have control over slaves. So Moses, in verse 24, says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. So even though he was born into a family where he had all the wealth, he had all the ESTV channels, they had 2-3 cars, he had someone that was driving him around to where he wanted to be. He had all the money that he needed, that he desired. He could go to any restaurant, to any club that he wanted to go. He chose not to be part of that. He said, I would rather be with the slave people, the poor people, because I want to see God, than being in this place where I have all the wealth, all the greatness, but this is all part of slavery. Not that there's anything wrong with wealth, but what I'm just saying is, for him, he chose, he realized that he can't be part of this anymore. He had to distance himself, and he did it. He had to do that by faith. So he rejected the kingdom of the world, and he chose the kingdom of God. So he had to break away. And then verse 27 says, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So there was this time where he was 40 years old. He killed a slave master. The next day, there was two of his fellow Hebrew people that were fighting. And he said to them, why are you fighting? And they said to him, are you going to kill us as well, like you did the Egyptian? So he realized that his life was in danger, so he had to flee away. And he fled. He had to go to the desert, and he lived in the desert for quite a while, until God called him with a burning bush when he came back. But then it says in verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So this verse is the focus. for this weekend. There was 10 plagues. The first one, they turned water into blood. The first sign that Jesus did, he turned water into wine. Wine represents the blood. So Jesus was just coming to fulfill what Moses has done. But there was 10 plagues. The last plague, God said, I'm going to kill the firstborn. You must take a lamb that is without any spot or blemish. You slaughter it. You take the blood and you put it on the doorpost. And it looks like a cross when you put it on the doorpost. So when the angel of death comes over, he's going to pass over the house that has the blood. And Andries had this sermon about 2 years ago in our church that really opened it up for me. And he said the people inside the house, it didn't matter how they were reacting. They could have been, oh, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Others could say, sure, God is good. It didn't matter because the angel didn't look at who they were. He was looking at the blood. So he passed them over when he saw the blood. He didn't pass them over because of how they acted, the things they had done, how good they were, how bad they were. He came and he passed them over because the blood of the Lamb. So we are saved, not how we do things and what we do. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how why we're saved, because the blood has paid a price. And Jesus was that Lamb, and he came to be fully man, yet he was fully God. He had no sin. He was the only sacrifice that could take on the sin of the world. When he was put on that cross and he paid and he said, it is finished, he paid the price for all sin, all sickness, all disease on that cross. And he said, I'm taking it on me. I'm paying the price because you are unable to do it. And because of my love for you, I put it on me. So every year, God instructed the Israelites to have a festival where they were celebrating. We once were slaves, but now we're free because of that Lamb. So today is a time of celebration because we once were slaves, now we are free because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. Isn't that amazing news? Praise God. Amen. God is really, really amazing. So he paid that price for us with a single sacrifice. Then the verse 29 says, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. When we get saved, we repent, we turn to God. It's because of the blood. But I believe the next step in our growth to come closer to God is being baptized, is to go through the water. So what I believe happens is the principalities, the powers, the rulers of this world are very powerful, not almighty. God is almighty. They are very powerful angels that rule territories. They are slave masters. And they control areas. So you might find you go to a town and you see this town, all the men in this town, they have keys and they give the keys and they put it in a basket. And then the woman chooses a key and then they go home with their wife whose key they have. Like, why does it happen in that specific town? Or someone else, everyone drinks tremendously. They drink and there's alcoolism or there's, but there's an area that is controlled by this. Many people are influenced by sin, but there's also people or beings that control areas. Now, what I believe, and I heard it recently in from a guy, that Sagan is his name. He said when we go under the water, we tell the principalities, powers, and rulers that we're not part of this kingdom anymore. We die to you, and we stand up in the kingdom of God. And we are now separated from that kingdom, and we do it publicly, that the world can see, that the principalities and powers can see. And I've, in my few years as a pastor, and I think Heinrich can agree with me, the most fights we've ever had was when people are getting baptized. They don't want to go in that water. You know, and why is it that many clergy, when they get baptized, they get excommunicated from their churches? What is the spiritual significance behind the baptism? But it's because the devil, when you get saved, it's fine. But as long as you're saved as a slave, because then he still have control over you. He can still manipulate you. But when you go through the water, they know they can't follow you through the water. Because once you're through, you are through. You can't come back. Even though you want to come back, you are through the water. And then it closes. The water closes behind you. So I just realized there's so much power in when we go and baptize, being baptized. When we come out, things changes. Many people are still slaves in the desert, but there's something that you have to cross. And I believe this baptism is one of the very important things that we have to go through. Now, when you go through the water, there's this desert period. And we are being led by the cloud during the day and the fire by night. And this cloud would move and the fire at night, and then it would stop. And they know it's not time to raise the temple. And they in like a cross form, they would come and sit around the tabernacle in certain areas that they would sit. So everything was pointing to the cross at all times. So now they're sitting and they were moving, and they were led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 years. The reason they were that there so long was moaning and complaining. And I believe God is saying to me that for me to enter the promised land, the moaning and complaining, He must get that out of me, out of my system, because that's slave talk. Slaves moan and complain. Sons take the land. There's two spies, Caleb and Joshua. They were speaking faith. They were speaking life. We can take them. The 10 others said, they're too big. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. And so are we in their sight, you know, both ways, because they were so big. We cannot do this. We can rather go back to Egypt. It's much better for us in Egypt. This is too hard for me. I cannot do this anymore. Why? That's slave talk. I believe kingdom talk is, let's take the land God has given to us in the name of Jesus. We can go because God is for us. Who can be against us? But that place as well where in the desert, people come together and there was the golden calf where they said, we cannot do this anymore. Moses is away from us. Let's have our own God. And they called this calf, they called him Yahweh. But it wasn't Yahweh, it was an idol. Or the Korah rebellion, they came up and said, we want to do it this day. There were many things that they've done that prevented them from going into the promised land, because they did not walk by faith. They walked in their own understanding, and they tried to do this in their own strength. But then verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. So God raised up Joshua. And Joshua was the man of God. He came, God anointed him. He saw the commander of the Lord's armies with the sword in the hand. Everyone is circumcised. It means they all turned their hearts back to God, and they took the promised land. And they had to overcome these giants, but there was something that changed in them. Their faith had to be focused. They got rid of the slaves in them, where they could go into the promised land and to take the land that God has given to us. So Hebrews 11 verse 1 and 2 says, by faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. So faith is knowing, I know, that what I see in the Bible, that what God speaks into my heart, the promise that He's given me, those things will come to be, not what my circumstances are showing me. That is faith. And those people were commended because they believed that. That was their reward, because they walked by that. They knew that. They knew that I'm going to take the promised land because my God is for me. That is what I believe God is saying, what faith is. Verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we don't have faith, we cannot please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We must believe. We must believe. So we understand we draw near to God. God wants to know us. God is good. He's all good. He's all powerful. He's amazing, God. God's purposes for my life is amazing, but God is amazing. And I want to know him. I want to draw near to him. That is all part of faith and growing in who God is. Faith is knowing that I'm righteous before God. Faith is knowing that I'm being justified, meaning God has justified me. He's declared me sinless. Faith is knowing that I'm being sanctified, I'm being made holy, but it's a process that I don't fall back and feel ashamed and guilty and condemned and all those things because I'm not doing as I think I should be doing because I'm so performance-driven. And being performance-driven is slavery because we want to impress the masters. But knowing God is being in a place of just believing, I know that I'm a son, I'm good. I believe that in faith because I know who my God is. So we know we are saved by faith, Ephesians, by his grace, through my faith, I am saved. It's a gift of God. It's not my working, it's not works that I can boast. It's knowing. So I just see faith, grace, God's love for me, but it's my faith in him. And many times I hear people saying to me, yes, but it's love. Love is the most important thing. And I say, I believe it's faith. Faith is the most important thing. 1 Corinthians 13 says, faith, hope, and love. But these three, the greatest is love. But I believe we grow out of faith into love. If there's no faith, there cannot be love. Because that love will be an earthly love. It will be distorted. But from faith, it grows into that place that God wants to meet. Because Jesus, when he came here, if you can just go to the next slide, Jesus said these things. Oh, you of little faith. Why are you afraid, you of little faith? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Do not fear. Only believe and she will be well. So Jesus was talking about faith all the time. He was saying faith. He was looking at faith. I believe faith is the currency that we deal with God. Angus Bachan says God doesn't listen to prayer. He doesn't answer prayers. He answers faith. So I believe there's a place where it was like the disciples in Luke 17 says, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. So whatever we ask, if we have faith like a mustard seed, that we can tell this mulberry tree that he must go. What I said earlier, that faith grows, this is where it's proved in 2 Peter 1 verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, your virtue with knowledge, and your knowledge with self-control. Your self-control with steadfastness, and your steadfastness with godliness, and your godliness with brotherly affection, your brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it grows, but it grows out of faith. So the bigger your faith is, the more we increase. So if my faith increases, my virtue increases. If my virtue increases, my knowledge increases. My self-control will increase, my steadfastness will increase, my godliness will increase, my brotherly affection will increase, my love will increase. So it starts with faith, but it grows into love. Faith is like the soil, the root. Hope is the tree. The fruit is love. When the faith is there, the hope will come and the tree will manifest the fruit. But it starts from faith, I believe, with all who I am. Galatians 3 verse 22 says, but the scripture imprisoned everything under, but the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. So we, before Jesus came, the law was the guardian. It's like these slaves had the master. It was either the world or it was the law. So now that Jesus has come, there's a new master. It is Jesus. But it's our faith in him that takes us into that world, not the things that we do, not the law that we do. Now, for those of you who are newly married, and you guys look like you are newly married or you're about to get married. I'm not a prophet. I'm going to put them on the spot. They are visitors, so please excuse me. But I know Jan and Elsie will rectify all the mistakes that I make now. But I'm sure if she dislikes something, you're not going to do it. And that's how faith works. Because of my love for Jesus, I don't want to murder anybody. I don't want to covet. I don't want to steal. I don't want to, because I know it upsets the Lord Jesus Christ. His heart is for me to walk without these things. So because of faith, and my faith grows in him, all these things grow, I want to do things to make Jesus, to please him. Because I'm so grateful for what he has done for me. That is son talk. Slave talk is, oh, I've done this bad thing again. I'm such a terrible person. I'm not good enough. Shame, condemnation, guilt, all those things. Son talk is, Lord, I made a mistake. Please forgive me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I accept that in Jesus' name. And I continue and I walk from that place. I understand that Jesus has declared me sinless. Now, Galatians 25 says, for now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So the law is not our guardian anymore. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. We are all sons of God through faith. So because we have been saved, we are now sons. But the world is wanting to tell us we are still slaves. He wants us to keep us in the desert, that we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And when we walk according to the instructions and the obedience of the word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we will inherit the kingdom of God. Because I believe if we're disobedient to the word, we will remain in the desert as long as it is. But when we start learning and hearing the spirit of the word, the spirit and God interprets it to us, we live by the spirit and the word, we will come and inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 4, verse 1 says, I mean that an heir, someone that inherits, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave. Although he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. My brother-in-law is the 8th generation on a farm in Wellington. They've got 3 farms in Wellington and 1 in the Karoo, and they've got houses, all these amazing places. But when you see him on the farm, he works like a laborer. But the difference between him and the laborers is he's a son. He's inheriting. But his father is still around. There will come a time when his father is going to say, Petrus, it now belongs to you. And I can run as a son. But he works on that farm, because he knows I'm going to inherit that farm. And this is where I believe God is wanting for us to understand that sometimes in this world we will work in the kingdom and we'll plow in the kingdom, but we understand this kingdom belongs to us because we are working for God and not for ourselves. And then verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So he redeems us. We're not slaves. We are now sons. And then Galatians 4, verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We can know God is our Father. And our healing is in the fact that our Father loves us. I'll never be rejected. I will never be ashamed. I'll never, because my Father is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And now he says, verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. So we are not slaves anymore. We are sons. But not only sons, we have an inheritance that God wants to give to us. And I believe that scripture that talks about little children, children, sons, and fathers, that God wants us to grow in that place of being spiritual fathers because we understand this inheritance and God wants our children to inherit. So I'm going to finish with my last slide. If the ushers, I hope we have ushers. I think there's one, there's two, three, four. We have enough. We're going to do communion. And if there's an offering basket, you feel welcome to put something in. If you don't want to, that's fine. But what is important, that you take bread and that you take juice that is representing the wine. My friend Pirang put this on Facebook this weekend. And I Facebooked him and I said, Pirang, kan ek het maar gebruik, broer? Pirang. My bynaam was Skouer, toe ek op universiteit was. En Pirang en ek was die twee lelike ouens. And there was this one Springbok gymnast. His son is also now in this school. He was a very good looking guy. And then this other guy, Almeru. And the four of us went to Hermanus and we were singing, I Feel It In My Fingers. Do you remember that song? I feel it in my toes. Love is all around. So we, because I didn't have a radio. So we were just singing that song. And Pirang and I were the two guys who were just drinking. We were partying. Was it gekeier? But now Pirang is also a pastor, and I'm a pastor. So we connected, and the other guys are not. So we thought, wow, God was really telling us something in that time, that love is all around us. But he shared this on Facebook. Orphans live for love, but sons live from love. And I believe this is really the key. That, you know, I find it a lot. People say, yes, it's about love, it's love, it's love. But it's many times slave talk because we want to feel loved. But when we understand what Jesus has done on the cross, we want to love. We want to love others. We want to love God. We want to love His children, because we understand what He has done for us on the cross, because we are whole. And what I'm also seeing is many, many of us, including me, because we are spiritually, we want to grow spiritually, we're struggling emotionally. And because we are emotionally broken, we cannot grow spiritually to where God wants to take us. But and that is part of slavery. But God wants to heal us, redeem us. He has redeemed us already, that we are sons. We are not slaves anymore. So by faith that we accept the healing that Jesus has done on the cross. So the last scripture is, are we children of circumstances or children of faith? Are we going to allow our circumstances to dictate to us? Or are we going to walk by sight? Are we going to walk by faith and not by sight? Are we going to close our eyes and say, Lord, what must I do? What must I do, Lord? Just close our eyes and say, Lord, let you rule in my life. I surrender to you. And this is what is important about Christianity, is to close our eyes, to focus on Jesus, and to say, God, you are in control. I surrender to you. It's the most difficult thing to do. But are we able to do that? So, Duens, if you can just play that song. I dedicate it to the Golds, all three of them. And as we just listen to it, just focus on the Lord. With a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance. From my enemies till all my fears have come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
So,
Mark, you can see why I've been so blessed by the choice of your songs this morning, because it was all where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's about no longer a slave. It's God has called us to be sons. It was the three songs that we did, and then it just finished off with Jesus. Jesus, it's all about Him. So this world, we will be either bound by being slaves to sin, to demonic manifestations. We went to our church in Nomzamo, and I was preaching on deliverance, and while I'm preaching, I could see how they start changing, because that thing inside them that's holding them captive, enslaved, is starting to manifest, and now you see it visibly on them. And some of the facilitators are here. I said, "Can I help us, please, because you can see." And as soon as you prayed, and the one amazing thing was this lady, I didn't know, but we were praying for her, but then the next moment I could see, because her eyes were swollen like this, and the next moment I could see, it was completely clear, and I still saw the one eye swollen. I said to her, are you uncomfortable? And then I saw that swelling is completely gone, and I said, God has done His work. And she looked at me, and the next moment she did this, but she's sitting, she goes, and she stands up, and everyone starts clapping hands and cheering. Because what I didn't know was when she came in there, she was walking in like this, apparently. But it was just demonic stuff that was keeping her in pain and suffering. But Jesus says, I've made you free already. It's just what Christ has done for us on the cross. We are free because what He has done for us in the cross. But we believe our faith in what Christ has done. So we trust God and say, Lord, and that road, as we walk on that road, it's a narrow road, but it's free. It's filled with freedom. The road of destruction is wide, and our circumstances wants to come and push us off that side or into the sides. So if we start focusing on our circumstances, we're going to get off that road. But if we can close our eyes and focus on Jesus, say, God, I believe You are good, and I follow You, and let Your kingdom, I'm seeking You, Lord, I'm seeking Your kingdom, we will remain, because we are sons, we are not slaves, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you want to stand, I just want to pray. Father, thank You that we just can come humbly before You, but with an excitement, heart of thanksgiving for what You've done on the cross, Lord. God, thank You that we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High, Lord. God, thank You that we are not slaves in the name of Jesus. God, thank You that there's no condemnation, Lord. There's no shame, there's no guilt in You, because we are saved by Your grace. It's Your mercy, Lord. It's Your love. You first loved us with all the stuff, all the sin, all the bad things. You were called a friend of the sinners. You came not for the righteous, but for those who needed You, Lord. And we can just surrender to that, knowing that I am loved by the Father. And You are well pleased with us. God is just saying, I'm well pleased with You. Well pleased with You. You are my son. You are my daughter. And I'm excited for who You are. And I want You to come to me in the name of Jesus. God, thank You that we are part of the body of Christ, Lord. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, that the church is Your body. We are the church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And You have given all of us amazing gifts. And You've given us talents. And you've given us, and many of us have not discovered our talents or our gifts yet, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that as we grow in faith, we will grow in discovering the purpose that you have called us for. That your purpose is so much bigger than anything that we can achieve in this world, Lord. Anything this world can bring to us will never bring satisfaction unless it is in the kingdom of God. It's birth for on your purposes, Lord. There's wholeness in you, Lord Jesus. And God, I really believe that you are speaking to us about the local church being planted, being part of, belonging, seeking together, being your children in unity, eating the same spiritual food, drinking the same spiritual drink, knowing that the rock is Jesus and he's following us, he's with us wherever we go, that we are all led by your Spirit in Jesus' name. God, thank you that we can, as part of the body of Christ, as believers, Lord, as family, take the bread and eat and know what you've done for us, that you've put your body on the line, that we can have life, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, thank you for the blood, that your blood speaks of a new covenant, Lord, an everlasting covenant. God, that covenant says that I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you will bless us, that you will be with us, that we become yours and you are ours. What is yours is ours and what is ours belongs to you. That we have protection, that we have covering, that we have love, that we have healing, that we have deliverance, that we have freedom by the blood. Because your blood was pure. It was not defiled in any way. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that it was your Holy Spirit that came to make Mary pregnant, Lord, that it was not man, but it was God that came, and that the DNA is transferred from the Father, that the DNA came directly from God, from you, Lord, that we can know that you are pure in every way, that you are good in every way, that you are love in every way, that you are full of mercy, full of love, that you are holy in every way, Lord, and that as we come closer to you, we get more transformed to who you are, Lord. Thank you that you love every person in this place, Lord. Let's drink. Thank you, Lord. Your Father, I just want to pray your blessing in Jesus' name. And God, as we just dismiss the service, I just want to ask if for the rest of you are welcome to go and have coffee and tea. And give someone a hug. But if you are struggling with a slave thinking mentality, and maybe it's because you have not been born again, you're still in Egypt, maybe you have gone through the water, or maybe you've not gone through the water yet, or you're in that desert area, and you're complaining and moaning, and things are just too rough for you, and you can't walk by faith where you can see the fire at night. You're not seeing the fire at night. You're not seeing that cloud. You're not seeing the protection, the goodness of God. All you're seeing is your circumstances coming against you and it's knocking you around and you're being controlled by your circumstances and not by faith. We want to pray with you. We just want to pray that that yoke of slavery gets broken over your life. We want to break open those chains and take it away from you and throw it away that you can walk in freedom as God has called you. In Jesus' name. May God bless you. If anyone wants prayer, now's the time to come forward. For the rest of you, enjoy the rest of this special weekend. And may God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.